Today on your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris.
Stave off disease from chronic diseases like cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, easy ways to get started with plant-based eating. What we eat, how we eat, when we eat, the order with which we eat is all important and it comes into play. But when we have plant diversity, we have a more diverse microbiome, which makes us stronger, healthier, and more vibrant and more able to fend off certain diseases. I was afraid of fat. Fat was the F word to me.
Hey everyone, it's Samantha Harris. I'm an Emmy-winning journalist and TV host from shows like Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. But a breast cancer diagnosis at age 40 changed everything. The wake-up call I didn't realize I needed. Now, a certified health coach and the author of a number one best-selling wellness book, I'm fiercely dedicated to guiding you to elevate your well-being in ways you may not have realized you could or even should. Don't worry, it's with small, manageable steps to mitigate chronic disease and live vibrantly with unparalleled energy. This is your Healthiest Healthy podcast.
Hello, your Healthiest Healthy community. Oh my gosh, you know how much I love talking about nutrition and what fuels and feeds our body, not only to give us the energy and the vitality for life, but also to stave off disease from chronic diseases like cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, but also neurodegenerative disorders and even combating autoimmune disorders. What we eat, how we eat, when we eat, the order with which we eat is all important and it comes into play. But what does it boil down to? A foundation of plant-based, or some like to say plant-forward eating. So today is all about plant-based eating 101. And for some of you who are already like 101, poof, I'm already way beyond 101. Don't worry, we're getting to some 102 action right here as well. So you can level up because we are always learning, we're always growing, and we're always improving on what we've learned before so that we can continue to thrive. Okay, so for my carnivores out there, let me just start by saying this. I grew up in Minnesota. Land of the cow. I grew up eating every part from tongue to literally practically tail. And yes, literally tongue. So I am well entrenched in what it is like to want to eat not just red meat, but poultry and fish, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was always starting my day with eggs or yogurt, some sort of plant-based breakfast food. And I would move into my lunch, which usually had a turkey sandwich or a salad with chicken or something on it. And then dinners, of course, some sort of fish, or lunches sometimes even that tuna salad sandwich or a side of tuna. So I get it. And I'm not telling you right now in any way that you cannot eat any plant or any animal-based foods. But what I want to share with all of you, no matter how many conflicting studies, how many conflicting diatribes by experts who would get on their soapbox and say, this is the one way to eat. And there's a lot of dissension among the crowds of experts, right? I'm not telling you that you cannot eat something specific. What I am sharing with you is that all of those experts across the board would agree that a plant-based or plant-forward diet, way of life, I don't like the word diet because the connotation of diet means something short-term, something that's fad, no. But how we are nourishing our body on a daily basis, they would all agree that being plant-based is the way to go. That is your foundation, right? And from that, we build our house of health. And so what does that look like? Well, for each person, it's going to look different, right? We are all bio individuals. What works well for one might not work as well for someone else. So we have to sometimes experiment. We have to trial and error. And then there's the preferences, right? The things that you're like, I just really want this piece of steak. I really want to eat those eggs or that yogurt. Okay, that cheese. Cheese is hard to give up, right? So what we're sharing here today is that you can have all those things, but it's also, even though this is all about plant-based eating, I also want to make sure we touch on today what it means if you're going to include animal protein into your diet. because that's just as important, because how you source it, how much you eat, how often you eat comes into play when it plays into the hand of disease. And we are thankfully so empowered these days. We can be, but we have to choose to be, from fork on plate to mouth, with how we are nourishing ourselves. And of course, it wouldn't be your healthiest healthy life if it wasn't about the holistic approach. So even though diet is one of the biggest barometers for, or precursors to, decisions of how, what's happening on the inside of our body to turn on or off certain DNA strands, or the lifestyle factors that we are living through our nutrition to have the, which is the epigenetics, how our food in this case is affecting our well-being for the future. But of course, it is the big picture. How are we dealing with stress? How much sleep and what quality sleep are we getting? Are we moving our body every day, and how and for how long, right? All, are we connecting with people? Do we have social, emotional support and community? All of these different buckets are essential to live your healthiest healthy life. But today we're going to focus specifically on nutrition and the plant-based eating. For those of you who are like, I'm having so much trouble getting started, I don't know what to do. Or for those of you who are like, yeah, I got it, let's level up, I've got you. And that's where we're going today. So I want to start with some of the science behind it. And don't worry, I won't get too nerdy. I know I get to be a science nerd some days, but I won't get too nerdy and into the weeds on it. But I want to make sure you have that foundation, because when we come from a place of understanding, of knowledge, but real knowledge, of how these choices are affecting us, we then can make those choices better moving forward. For instance, and this has nothing to do with plant-based eating, but alcohol. I know, as a breast cancer thriver, that no amount of alcohol is safe for breast cancer recurrence or even an initial diagnosis of breast cancer. I also know that for heart health, a glass of good quality red wine, organic ideally, a couple of times a week can have benefits. I don't want to ever see breast cancer again. I also don't want to see heart disease, which is the number one killer of women. So how do we do this? And do I enjoy alcohol? I used to not at all. I used to not drink. Didn't drink, by the way. Didn't get buzzed until I was in my early 20s, and I've never been drunk in my life. But I do enjoy a glass of wine every now and again. So that's where our bioindividuality comes into play, not only with what are our own specific health markers, biomarkers, health history, genetic predisposition, but also what sort of lifestyle choices do we want to make to be able to feel like we're living and embracing life? Because that is also a huge part of the game. That's also what brings us happiness. That's also what brings us contentment. And you need that for longevity, right? So with all of that, I make the choice of how often and how much I will have alcohol. It isn't very often, but am I completely cutting it out? No. So same thing goes with animal protein. If you're someone who says, I need or I want whatever the fill in the blank is, animal protein in my life. Okay. So we're going to talk about that as well. But let's again start with the science, because again, where we have knowledge, we have power. So, the eating patterns of plant-based or plant-forward focus primarily on, well, food from plants. Now, you might be thinking, that means I'm just eating greens, lettuce, like a rabbit all the time, just vegetables? No. Thankfully, in the plant-based space, that includes, of course, all vegetables, starchy and non-starchy, all fruit. I'm not saying certain things are better than others right now, but this is what encompasses plant-based. So all veggies, all fruit, nuts, seeds, legumes, beans, grains, whole grains. So amaranth, quinoa, brown rice, teff, the sorghum, right? The really hearty white rice, white flour. No, that is not a grain. Oats, whole oats, steel cut oats, things like that, of course. So always want to be mindful. My quick PSA, when it comes to plant-based, choosing organic as often as possible, as often as the budget allows, and also choosing off of the Dirty Dozen list which is the environmental working groups list that they come up with every year that shows how many pesticides are on particular fruits and vegetables, and they list it from top to bottom, most pesticide heavy to least, the Dirty Dozen, the most heavy. So you really want to at least focus your financial choices on getting organic for the Dirty Dozen, and then you can figure out from there. When it comes to oats and certain flours and grain-based products, even if they're non-GMO, they can still have the junk on them, the Monsanto weed killer, really highly toxic, cancer-causing yuck on them. So we want to really be careful when it comes to plant-based eating to choose organic as often as possible. So my PSA is complete and seen. Okay, so the plant-based foods, right? So it's this nice variety. We've had wonderful gut health experts on our community speaking to us, like Dr. B. Will Bolsowitz, and many more, who talk about plant diversity is also really important for a microbiome. So jumping into the science of it for a second here, that's where a plant-based diet can really help to fend off disease because, and certain disorders, right? Because when we have all of these great phytonutrients. So we have, you know, macronutrients, your protein, your carbs, your fat. We have micronutrients, those are your vitamins and your minerals. Then we have the phytonutrients, right? The phytochemicals, the things that the sun gives to these plants that bring the color, the vibrancy, but also help it to fend off certain diseases that come to the plant because the plant needs to survive. Well, what's amazing is that those also help us. And interestingly, you know, there have been studies done about, well, are organic fruits and vegetables better for us nutritionally than conventionally raised? And the quick answer is,
are all the vitamins you're taking actually what your body needs? Or are there others you should be taking but don't realize? What if your supplements got personal, like tailor-made for your individual needs? See, I got totally fed up with buying a mishmash of random vitamins and other supplements I just assumed I might need because other people or social media influencers said I needed them. One size fits all doesn't work for anyone when it comes to what's best for our unique biology. So I got really excited when I found a simple tool backed by complex science and powered by a sophisticated algorithm that allows me to get personalized nutrition recommendations. It's called Meology, and it delivers these recommendations precisely for you, not people like you, for you, with more precision, more power, more patents, and more proof than any of the competition. Want to take the quick health assessment to see your personalized recommendations? It's free. Just go to tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha and take it for free. That's tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha. Before cancer and sitting in the makeup chair every day for my TV shoots, I had no idea how many carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and neurotoxins were lurking in the beauty products being used on my face and body, and same with my at-home routine. After cancer and tons of research and vetting products and brands, I finally discovered one that became my absolute favorite, and it gives me the look and staying power I need without the toxic junk. Now I want to share it with you. It's called Crunchy, and they've set a new standard for cosmetic safety and are redefining the beauty industry where high performance, product safety, and sustainability meet for unprecedented cosmetic results. You no longer have to compromise your beauty for your health or your health for your beauty. Just visit crunchy.com/Samantha Harris. That's crunchy with an I, crunchy.com/Samantha Harris.
Oh, because they have the same nutrient value in terms of macronutrients and micronutrients. But the aha is that they aren't testing for the phytonutrients, the phytochemicals, all of that other goodness that is making an organic plant thrive and survive despite the lack of use of the harmful pesticides and herbicides and all of that. And so it has to work even harder and get even more polyphenols into it, working even harder to fend off the bugs and the disease that might kill that plant. So the question, and the studies are just slowly starting, are those polyphenols are what make it actually better for us? Because as we consume them, right, they've had to work harder to fend off disease. So as we consume them, that will hopefully help us work harder to be able to fend off disease within our body when we get that intake. So that's just another aside in terms of why we want to try to go organic when it comes to the produce as much as possible. But plant-based diversity is really essential for our microbiome. So our microbiome, right, that's the makeup of trillions of cells of that, you know, our 70% of our immune system is in our gut, and the microbiome are the good and bad bacteria. And so when we have plant diversity, we have a more diverse microbiome, which makes us stronger, healthier, and more vibrant, and more able to fend off certain diseases. So plant diversity is also really key. And a lot of us, myself included, me included, I tend to eat a lot of the same things, right? I have my smoothie every day, and I always end up having some broccoli or something for dinner as my side dish, and my salads tend to have a lot of the same veggies. So when you go to the grocery store, being able to just grab maybe a new fruit or a fruit that you can cycle in that maybe you don't have quite as often, even if it's a bit, you know, you eat berries a lot, well, maybe adding a blackberry instead of only strawberries into the mix, or a raspberry or a boysenberry, whatever it is, even if it's just a few of them. And same thing with your veggies and maybe even your different grains. So really important. And you don't have to be vegan or vegetarian to be plant-based. People ask me all the time, Samantha, well, you must then be a vegan. I'm not. I do have sushi once a week, even though I know it is highly toxic because of our oceans being overpolluted with mercury and PCBs. So I get my mercury checked. I do different other things, which we could talk about offline, about what I do to combat that. But then I also fill the majority of my plate every day with all these great, healthful, and beneficial plant-based foods. I'm not vegan. I'm not vegetarian. But when people ask me, I say I'm plant-based, or I'm plant-forward, because I then can mix in the other things when I want to, right? There might be a cheese pizza night, and it happens. the evidence that plant-based eating is the healthiest choice. We have so much nutrition research, thankfully, that has gone into that. And you know, whether it's studying the Mediterranean diet or the vegetarian diet, right? Mediterranean diet, even though it has some fish, it is based as a foundation of plant foods. And they have, you know, only small quantities, but still some poultry, eggs, cheese, yogurt, you know, but it's only a few times a week. Meats and sweets, Mediterranean diet, even less often. But we know that from the studies of the Mediterranean diet, that the studies have shown that both large population studies and randomized clinical trials, and we love those randomized clinical trials, that diet reduces the risk of heart disease, of metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome is basically a collection of high cholesterol, high triglycerides, which is blood fat, large waist circumference, high blood pressure, things like that, as well as reduces diabetes, certain cancers, specifically colon, breast, and prostate, which is also very common. But it also can reduce things like depression. And for older adults, decreased, and I think this is so cool that the Mediterranean diet has been shown in these trials to reduce the risk of frailty in old age with better mental and physical function. And Harvard has come out with lots of different information about all of these studies. So, you know, I always make sure that all the science and research I do is always from really solid resources. And that's something you can always count on for anything I talk about in your healthiest healthy. And then vegetarian diets have also been studied, right? They've been shown to support health, include lowering the risk of coronary heart disease, lowering blood pressure, diabetes, increased longevity. I mean, who doesn't want to live a long life, but a long life free of disease, free of mental, you know, challenges and memory issues and Alzheimer's and dementia. So plant-based diets, a lot of people will say, Samantha, how do you get enough protein? How is that possible if you're not eating a lot of meat? First of all, there is actually more protein in 100 calories of broccoli than there is in 100 calories of chicken. Now, 100 calories of broccoli is going to fill up your stomach pretty darn fast because that's a good amount of broccoli. There's another upside to that, right? You're getting salts, increased fiber, you're getting great stuff like that, and the polyphenols and the micronutrients, which you're not getting from the poultry, but you can eat a smaller amount of poultry and get that same amount of protein. But plant-based diets have all that we need for protein, for fats, for carbohydrates, for vitamins, for all those minerals that we need for optimal health. But they're also higher in fiber and phytonutrients. And if you are strictly vegan, you do need to add most likely a vitamin B12 supplement. So make sure you talk to your doctor about that, just to make sure you have all those nutrients that you need. So we have all these different ways that you can create one of these diets, right? There's the semi-vegetarian, there's the flexitarian, there's the pescatarian, right? Having fish and a certain dairy. But how do we get started? Okay, so I want you guys to go ahead, get those pens out if you want to write down little tips and answers, questions I'm always open to. First of all, tip number one, fill your plate at least half full of veggies at every meal. One of the basics of living your healthiest, healthy life is that right there. If you do nothing else when it comes to nutrition, fill your plate at least half full of veggies at every meal. They can be raw, they can be poached. They can be steamed, they can be roasted, broiled, however you want. I would obviously make sure you always do include some raw veggies every single day. Obviously, when we boil them or steam them to oblivion or we roast them like crazy, we're losing some of the nutrients. So you want to make sure you get that mixture. But really eating lots of vegetables. And I like to say at every meal, definitely focus on lunch and dinner at the very least. But that's why I love my smoothies every day, or an acai bowl or a smoothie bowl, or even a tofu scramble with lots of veggies, because you're able to get a lot of greens and other great vegetables into there, and your nuts and your seeds. If you're doing a smoothie with the chia and the flax, they don't really taste, but they add a lot of fiber. The alpha-linolenic acid, right, the ALAs, which are a great omega-3. And so you can also focus on the color of the rainbow. So really making sure so that you get that plant diversity, that you are able to add as many colorful fruits and vegetables as possible. Each color signifies a different chemical makeup, biochemical makeup in that plant, vegetable, fruit, whatever it is, nut, seed, so that it gives something new and different to the microbiome. So it might be, you know, a bunch of veggies dipped in hummus or guacamole or right, whatever it is. Okay, another thing for easy ways to get started with plant-based eating. Change the way you think about meat, right? A lot of us think, okay, well, again, Minnesota girl, big slab of meat, front and center. That is the star of the plate show, right? And then there's a little side of vegetables and maybe a little side of some sort of, I don't know, grain or starch, and then maybe a fat, whether it's a gravy or it's a butter or it's a sauce. So when we rethink about how we're approaching meat, where that's because, again, we're filling our plate half full of veggies. So meat is really the sideshow, right? It's more of a, as I think it's Dr. Mark Hyman says, a condiment instead of a condiment. Smaller portions, you know, it's a garnish, it's not the centerpiece. And so when we think about it that way, instead of having a 4 or 6 or some of us 8 ounce piece of chicken or steak or fish, it's a 2 ounce portion, maybe a 3 ounce portion. And instead of having that 7 out of 7 dinners a week, you reduce it. Small steps. Look, again, out of 21 meals a week, that's three meals a day, 7 days a week. Out of 21 meals a week, pre-cancer for me, guess how many meals had some sort of animal, whether it was chicken or fish or turkey, I wasn't really eating red meat then, or cheese or yogurt or eggs. 21 meals out of 21 meals for this girl right here. Okay, so the idea of reducing was so overwhelming to me. I feel so much better, so much more energized since I started eating more plant-based that I can't even stand it. It's so awesome. I don't get that 3 p.m. lull anymore where I just really need that nap, or that 8 p.m. when I'm putting the kids, well, now it's 9 p.m., but back then when I changed, an 8 p.m. bedtime for the kids where I just felt like falling asleep as well, but then I would drag myself back out of their rooms so I could have some time with my husband before we turned out the lights at 10 or 10:30. Now I'm up, and I'll admit, I still don't love waking up in the morning early, but school and all that gets me out of bed, which is good, because once I'm up, I am up and I'm going and I'm firing and I'm doing all day long straight through to that 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock bedtime. And I guarantee you the main reason that is because it was the biggest change that I made was going plant-based. The more nutrients I got, it also crowds out all the junk that we tend to get. So I'll tell you about that in a second. Back to the meat for a second. So 21 meals out of 21 meals, I was eating some sort of animal. So I whittled it back for dinners specifically. Instead of 7 nights a week, I cut back to 4 nights a week. And I started to add in some plant-based dinners, some bean burgers, bean-based pasta, tofu. And I never thought I would like tofu in a gazillion years. And all of a sudden, I was like, huh, you know what? This isn't so bad. So there's a lot of options out there, right? And by the way, it doesn't have to be a bean-based pasta, but trying to be my healthiest healthy, I didn't want a white flour pasta. I did start with some whole wheat pastas and then tons of veggies, making it maybe a pasta primavera, adding bean dishes and stews and, you know, lentil soups and things like that also are a great way to do it. Another really important thing is to choose healthy fat. All right, give me high fives or thumb, well, maybe not high five, but a thumbs up if you were this person like I was. I was afraid of fat. Fat was the F word to me. I kid you not. As a, you know, growing up in the 90s, well, I was an 80s baby, well, 70s baby, but it grew up in the 80s, but 90s and 2000s, when I was coming up through, you know, high school graduation and into college, and then early 2000s out in Los Angeles by myself on my own as a big girl, now college graduate, I was afraid of fat. It was the low fat, fat free generation, where every bit of marketing we saw coming at us was fat is bad. Fat was vilified. Do not eat fat. Oh, eat a ton of sugar and eat a ton of chemicals that are fake sugars to make it taste good because we're taking out all the fat, but do not eat fat. Eat margarine, don't eat butter. Eat right, the messages. So post-cancer, when I started to make friends with fat and I introduced nuts and seeds and avocados. Yeah, no, these were things I never ate before. I was afraid of them. Nuts, seeds, avocados, and healthier oils. Now, oils have still a lot of school of thought and controversy out there. The one thing we do hear, and it is pretty much across the board, are the seed oils are the ones that are really high in omega-6, which are more harmful fatty acids. We need omega-6, but we don't need as much omega-6 as most of us are getting. We need a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, much more so than the omega-6. So the ratio is out of whack. We're getting too much omega-6, not enough omega-3. We need to shift that. So the seed oils, not only are they high, seed oils. Yeah, question. So what are seed oils?
Do you feel like you often put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list, or self-care just barely means a hot bath, perhaps an occasional workout, or maybe a chair massage at the mall? How does this sound instead? Let's meet up for 4 days at a blissful sanctuary surrounded by stunning red rock mountains. It's perfect for those craving a break from the chaos of everyday life to get you back on the road to your healthiest healthy yet. And while we're together, you'll get personal coaching from me. We'll grab some epic hikes for all levels, eat delicious healthy meals together. You'll get pampered at the spa, enjoy yoga and invigorating fitness classes, all included at a spectacular resort in Utah. It's the wellness retreat you've been waiting for, but just haven't yet taken the time to gift yourself. It's transformational, restorative, and so much fun. So join me. It's my exclusive Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat, Utah, this October. I have limited spots for this ladies-only small group wellness getaway, so hurry and visit tinyurl.com/ YHH Retreats, because it's the Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat. So that's tinyurl.com/YHH Retreats. See you there.
Sunflower, safflower, peanuts sometimes. What else? Sunflower, salad, canola oil, which for so long people said, oh, don't eat vegetable oil, but have canola oil. Still not good. So not only are they high in this potentially harmful omega-6 oil, but also the thing about seed oils is the way that they are processed and bleached to get the rancid smell out. High heat. So they, anything that may have once upon a time been anything like a vegetable that was maybe could give some helpful benefits has now been completely leached out of there with the high heat processing. So going for cold pressed organic olive oil or coconut oil, avocado oil. Those are really the three that I stick with. I use a little bit of sesame seed oil if I'm making an Asian dish, but I try not to use too much of it because still there's some controversy there. Grapeseed oil gets a bit of a mixed review as well, but those are all going to be a little bit healthier. And just, you know, going, if you're going Mediterranean diet, people say, well, just slather on the olive oil. Now, we have had experts even here in the community, like Dr. Joel Furman, who is dealing with very highly severely sick individuals who have heart disease that could kill them in a second. And he says no oils of any kind are safe. So again, bioindividuality, figure out what's right for you, figure out what works for you. But choosing the healthy fats in the good oils or the better oils, your nuts, your seeds, your avocados, your seed butters, those are particularly healthy choices and a good way to go when you are starting to turn a plant-based chapter into your life. You can even start, you know, the Meatless Mondays, great. Going with meat substitutes, not so great, right? Look, do we use a Beyond Meat or what's the other one? You know, the fake meats in our house. We were doing it about once a week. We've now whittled it back maybe once or twice a month. It's nice to have that alternative. But probably, honestly, it would be honestly probably be better just to go for a really high quality grass-fed beef and have a smaller portion. But that's still arguable. So anyhow, but anything that's overprocessed. So we don't want to go with, you know, soy products. Soy is a great source of a plant-based protein. It is actually breast protective. I'm going to say that again. As a breast cancer survivor, I have looked deep into this, and the research is amazing and robust. Pure organic soy is breast protective. Soybeans, those are the mature soybeans. Edamame, those are the baby soybeans. Tofu, tempeh, even smaller quantities, but even soy milk. Even some highly high quality soy protein isolate, like I have in some of the products that I use, and you guys can reach out to me, I'll share with you. Those can also be safe. But the highly processed soy burgers, so tofurkey, some of the plant-based burgers, right? They are just, they're very processed. And so they have a lot of other things in them to be able to let us believe we're eating this plant-based lifestyle, which we are, but the whole point of doing that is to be healthier. And now we're introducing the stuff that's not so good. So Meatless Mondays, right? The idea is another hack to going more plant-based is to cook at least one vegetarian meal for your household per week. And so really building these meals instead of the processed junkola, build them around the beans, the whole grains, the vegetables. It's a much safer way. And then see, okay, cool. Once a week, I love it. It's a great meal. I found a great recipe. Start with, you know, adding another one. That's how we level up. You can also do, you know, if you're not into the smoothie thing for the morning, or you just don't want a smoothie every day, you can have, you know, certain whole grains for breakfast. It could be, you know, the quinoa that you soak and you add and make it more, a little more sweet with some almond milk or cashew milk and some cinnamon and some berries, a whole grain or steel cut organic rolled oats, chia seed pudding, which you can overnight oats or overnight pudding is great. You can mix it in a mason jar the night before, put it in the fridge, ready to go right out of the fridge on your way out the door. So that's another one. Go for greens. Just in general, go for greens. The greens are the best. So on the hierarchy of the most amazing for us plants down to the least in terms of just, let's actually focus just on vegetables in this particular case. Our greens are the highest in nutrient density in our phytonutrients. As Dr. Joel Fuhrman has said too, he's been on as a guest many times, and he's really shared that you want to get as much nutrient density per caloric buck, as he says, right? So if you're looking at 100 calories of two different things, going for something that's going to have a lot more nutritional value, the phytonutrients, all the vitamins and the minerals and all that goodness, more so per the 100 calories that's going to basically be devoid of that. So leafy greens are the most. Cruciferous leafy greens, it's like bing, 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 awesome. Cruciferous veggies have a lot of great cancer-fighting compounds in them. Those cruciferous veggies, for those who say that because cauliflower is white, it has no nutritional value, guess what? It's a cruciferous. It actually does have great nutritional value. So you can do raw cauliflower in dips. You can make it as cauliflower rice. You can take frozen cauliflower and throw it into your smoothie. Really good stuff. But also kale, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, Swiss chard, not a cruciferous, but another great one, spinach. Broccoli sprouts. I love broccoli sprouts. Broccoli in general is great because it has something called sulforaphane, and that is a huge cancer fighter. And if you pre-chop your broccoli, a minimum of 40 minutes prior to cooking or preparing or eating it, and just chop it and let it sit out, that releases the chemicals in it to make the sulforaphane to make it available for you in your body. And so you increase all of the bioavailability and benefit of eating that broccoli. Another thing you can do is have broccoli sprouts, which have 7 to 10 times the, it doesn't technically have the sulforaphane, but once it breaks down, it has all that goodness that the myocyte, something like that, that comes from the sulforaphane. So it's 7 to 10 times more potent for the cancer fighting. So you can, with these veggies, I mean, look, you can take the greens, you can steam them, you can grill them, you can saute them, you can stir fry them. I love adding garlic and onions, which are in the allium family, which are also really potent cancer fighters, but they're great for so many other things, for longevity. And a sauteed onion and garlic base for any dish is going to add robust flavor. And if you're someone who's saying, I don't like garlic or I don't like onions, you actually would be surprised that when you cook it up and you add it into the things that you actually are enjoying eating, it's going to actually give it so much more flavor. Yes. Hi. You agree. Exactly. And so, yeah. So Jill's saying, I used to think I hated onions until I started sauteing them. Amazing. So another way to do it is to build a meal around a salad. So for lunches and sometimes for dinners too, I will make, you know, a robust salad, right? Romaine, whatever kind of lettuce is your jam, but then adding all those colors of the rainbow, you know, the carrots, the cucumbers, I like to even take snap peas, cut those up, throw that in, sweet bell peppers, radishes, whatever it is, throw that green onions, bonus points for any onions and mushrooms you have in your day. And so really great way. And then I add lentils or white beans or garbanzo beans or maybe a combination. So I'm getting extra fiber from those and I'm getting the protein. And then of course you're getting all the phytonutrients that you can get, the polyphenols from that beautiful blend of vegetables. And of course you're getting fiber from those veggies as well, right? It's not just the beans that you're getting that. And when it comes to dessert, how many of you love to have a sweet later in the night? Yeah. High five. Exactly. I love all the high fives coming up. So I do too. So a couple of things. First of all, fruit. Oh my gosh, it is nature's dessert. So you can always have some nice berries. Sometimes I've actually been doing a really beautiful ruby red grapefruit after dinner, and it almost gives me the satiety of wanting something sweet, but it's a little different because it has that sweet and sour, but it some tends to satiate me that I don't want anything after because it has a very potent taste. So obviously going for, you know, maybe a crisp apple, even I'll sometimes do some apple and almond butter or peanut butter after dinner, just to just give a little bit of something sweet. But for those who also want to have something truly dessertish or dessert-like, dark chocolate. 70% cacao, right? So it's dark chocolate made with at least 70% cacao or more. So what that does is it reduces the amount of sugar and dairy that is put into that, and you're getting more of the pure bean. And that chocolate bean is rich with polyphenols, right? Who has had cacao nibs on, you know, sprinkled on top of an acai bowl or a smoothie bowl or your yogurt bowl, or added cacao powder into a smoothie as I did today, right? It has, first of all, 0 grams of sugar in raw cacao nibs or powder, because the cacao bean doesn't actually have any sugar. It's when you make it into chocolate that you have to add the sugar. It's because raw cacao is pretty bitter, so people need to sweeten it up. So learning, I used to only like milk chocolate. Oh, I was like, oh, dark chocolate. I love dark. Actually, I don't even like, someone will give me milk chocolate now. I don't even like milk chocolate now, because our taste buds are amazing. And this is something I want you to take away. I encourage you, I invite you to take this away from this session. Our taste buds can be trained. For those of you who've read my book, you know I have a whole chapter or a whole section on this in one of the chapters. But that we can train our taste buds. It usually takes a minimum of about 3 weeks, which is why when we have new babies in our lives who are starting to eat as toddlers and we have to give them the same food 7, 8, 9, 10 times before they maybe start to like it, we're no different as adults. So we have to keep trying it. So some of my suggestions with trying new foods is, one, to pair a new food that you're not sure if you're going to like, or you've tried it and you for sure didn't like it the first time, pair it with a food you do like. That association will start to help and your taste buds will start to go, oh, wait, hey, I think I actually kind of like this thing. Oh, and now, like I said, I used to think avocados were disgusting. I love avocados. I used to think all nuts were gross. I eat at least a handful of raw, unsalted cashews every single day, right? So we can train ourselves. I used to hate tomato. Hate is a strong word. I used to really dislike raw tomatoes. If it wasn't in a ketchup form, I did not like it. Now I love putting those onto my salads. Again, the power of the knowledge, understanding what it is doing for our body as we're consuming it, makes a huge difference to then help play into our hand for wanting to transform our taste buds. So give it a try. Also, I encourage you to try one new thing at a time so your senses aren't overloaded and then you reject, you know, the two or three things that are new that you're trying as you're training your taste buds. So those are really, really important. And I think that the other thing is with when it comes to, you know, new things, don't be afraid to go outside the box, right? Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We know that we have, you know, all these wonderful phytochemicals to be able to have, and we want to reduce our risk of cardiovascular diseases. The other things that we do, right? So healthy fats are really important. Here's why. When we're consuming these vegetables, our vitamins D, A, E, and K can only be absorbed with fat. They are fat-soluble vitamins. So we need to have a little bit of healthy fat. That's why I love veggies in hummus or guac, because we're getting the veggies, we're getting that a veggie-based dip, but we're getting the healthy fat so we can actually absorb those vitamins. So that's really important to be able to have that. And so, you know, the all these phytochemicals, they also aid in the function of the immune system. They help protect our cells. They repair our DNA from the damage that might lead to things like cancer. Reduce our inflammation. Inflammation, the precursor to so many diseases. Also, all this plant-based eating, it can slow the growth rate even of some cancers. I found that pretty fascinating as well. And then it also can help to regulate our hormones. And a lot of us talk about hormone imbalances and hormone dysfunction. So just simply by changing the way that you're eating and nourishing yourself can make a big difference. You know, whole foods, we talked about the heart disease and the diabetes, metabolic syndrome, also even Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, right? Those are other things that it can help to reduce. What else? Oh, so let's talk for a couple more minutes on the benefits of the healthy fats. So we talked about the healthy fats and what kinds they are and how we can, you know, what types of foods to have for healthy fat. And we know that we need the healthy fat, of course, to absorb A, D, E, and K vitamins, but also healthy fats lower the risk of heart disease and stroke. They lower the bad, the LDL cholesterol levels, while increasing the good cholesterol, HDL. They also, healthy fats can prevent abnormal heart rhythms. And interestingly, healthy fat lowers blood fat, which are triglycerides. And those triglycerides, when our levels of triglycerides of blood fat are too high, that can lead to heart disease and also high levels of inflammation. So that helps to fight that. And then we also, besides absorbing all of those vitamins we talked about, healthy fat also helps support cell growth. It brings upon satiety, so we feel full faster. It protects our organs, and it also gives our body some great energy. So that's also really, really important. And I wanted to actually touch on something, which is the plant-based diet. Let's see what we're going to say. Oh, the fact that the satiety thing. I wanted to talk about this for a second. So when we're eating more plant-based foods, what's fantastic, and I'm going to wrap up here in a moment, so just bear with me for a second here. But when we eat the plant-based foods and we fill our stomach with all of this goodness, this nutrient density, it leads to that satiety, and it crowds out, because it's filled us up, it crowds out all the other bad, I hate to say bad, the other nutrient deficient non-foods, right? The packaged foods, the fried foods, the donuts and the bagels and the junk and the chips and the all that stuff. We don't go on the hunt for them as much. Not to say you're not going to want them still, because our mind plays games on us, and we have different, you know, everybody has different levels of their relationship with food. But it, on a biological level, on a cellular level, you're feeling full, that satiety is there. So you're not on the hunt, because you have filled your stomach with what it needs. So the bottom line, as we wrap up this session, is that the more power, more knowledge you have, the more power you have for your choices. When you're choosing these plant-based foods, you're reducing the risk of so many diseases. You're gaining that energy, that spark for life. You are absorbing your vitamins, your minerals, you're getting that satiety, you're not packing away more fat into those fat cells that are those, right, that are just getting bigger and bigger as we blossom. We're whittling down our waistlines, which we need to have a smaller waist circumference to be healthier, and we are more satisfied, happier people. So if you have any questions that come up as you are thinking, like, okay, wait, this, you just, you know, you're mulling over all that has come to you today, hit me back, drop questions in, and I will get back to you with more answers. But these are some of the fundamentals: plant-based, plant-forward nutrition for life is one of the biggest keys to living your healthiest, healthy life. And I will see you the next time. Thank you. This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Samantha Harris, The King's Daughter, Inc., YourHealthiestHealthy.com, or Samantha-Harris.com, and its signatories, all known as Company, is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions provided by guest experts or hosts featured within that website or on this episode of Your Healthiest Healthy Podcast with Samantha Harris are their own, not those of Samantha Harris or the company. Accordingly, Samantha Harris and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on such information or opinion. This podcast is presented for exploratory purposes only. Published content is not intended to be used for preventing, diagnosing, or treating a specific illness. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Thank you.